Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of I Need Wine podcast. Hooray for consistency on our part. We hope that you guys are enjoying. We're working really hard to make sure that we give you guys an episode every week, just like we said we were going to.
Yeah, it's a little challenging.
It is sometimes. Okay, so big news on, I know you're not really into it, but we did do an episode with your sister and my sister about the whole Britney Spears conservatorship thing, and she is now officially like 100% free, which.
So explain to me what was going on in the first place, because I saw like it was everywhere for a while.
Yeah, but also I feel like it was slightly before your time as far as like Britney being like Britney. So I feel like she might have even been on the conservatorship like pretty. It's, I don't know how many years it's been, but even for me, like my sister was like obsessed with Britney Spears, and that was like her whatever. So I had a lot of it in my life based on her. But basically what happened, so do you remember like when Britney went crazy, like shaved her head?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just fuck everything. Right. So based on like that and her behavior and whatnot, they put her under a conservatorship, which is like the same thing as like Amanda Bynes, I believe, is still.
What else did she do besides shaving her head?
I don't know exactly. I feel like she was basically just acting reckless, which again can be said for like many celebrities that do not get under a conservatorship based on that behavior.
Especially who are that age and that rich.
I mean, yeah, like exactly. Like the stress is
her age she started. She was an icon.
Yeah, you're bound to crack at some point, I feel like. But yeah, I think that was looked at least allegedly, supposedly, that this was kind of the way that like her dad could be in charge of all of her money and take advantage, because he could be like, oh, you're acting crazy. Like, let me make sure you don't do anything stupid. Right. Take that as you will, you know? But yeah, so basically she's been trying to like fight against being under a conservatorship, saying like, hey, like, I'm fine. Like, I've been in therapy. I've done all the work like for so many years. Like I want to maybe, let me look up and see how long. Cause I feel like that's kind of important. How long was Britney in a conservatorship? 13 years.
Damn.
Like 13, mind you, the craziest part to me personally is like, she had like Vegas shows. Like she had a residency in Vegas. Like she was working. Like recently. Yeah, like within the last few years, like she was working. So to me, I'm like, if I'm sane enough to work and make money, I shouldn't be controlled by anybody.
And rehearse. And
right. Like that's a lot on a person's mental health.
Who's not sane.
So if you're saying she's so crazy that she can't even be in charge of her own money and things, then why the fuck do you have her working?
What's her sister's involvement?
So I don't know, her sister came out with like a video at some point during the craziness, like, you know, within the last like 6 months, whatever, they've been talking about it, came out with a video pretty much being like, I love my sister.
Sorry, hold on, can you hear that scratching?
No. Why, who is it?
My fucking cat.
I kicked Ace out while we are doing this.
This is litter box.
But yeah, like kind of like being like, you know, I love my sister and I'm just like trying to make herself look better. It kind of seemed like, and I don't think like based on what Britney's been saying or doing, like, I don't think that she's like super cool with her sister. So I'm not sure exactly her involvement.
So you think the sister was getting a cut of some of the money?
I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe not, but also like she wasn't under conservatorship. So she was just free to do whatever she wanted. And kind of like, I feel like, if that was me and my sister, okay, I have a sister, like,
that's what I was gonna say. If it was me and my sister,
I'd be like, okay, so my sister, like, she was like a singer and stuff. So let's say she grew up to be Britney and I'm Jamie Lynn, okay? I just came up like, hey, get me on some Nickelodeon shit, right? And my sister is like in that predicament and like under the control of our dad, and I know she's going through it. Like, I'm gonna raise hell.
No, that's what I'm saying. As a sister, I'd be like, hold on, y'all got my sister fucked up.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not going to just be like, oh, God, it ain't me, bye. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's probably how Britney feels. So she's probably like, fuck you too, bitch. You know, like that's how I would feel about it. I'd be like, you didn't help, dude. Not a goddamn bit of shit to help me. On top of that, I mean, who knows what else, you know, she's had like played her part or whatever. But
When I look at it, I'm just thinking, and maybe they don't have the same sibling relationship that, like,
right,
you have with your sister, I have with my sister, but I just feel like if my sister was a famous singer, actor, whatever, under a conservatorship, and my parents were, like, doing all this, I would definitely be, like,
no,
double teaming, like, telling
my right. sister,
okay, this is what's going on, telling them, like, y'all need to, like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Especially if my, unless my sister really needed to
right.
be in that predicament. However, if my sister ever needed to be in that predicament, I would advocate for her to not do any more work. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was absolutely. Like, you're so fucked up, you can't be in charge of money. Then, yeah, exactly. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm not going to be making money for you that you get to be in control of. You got me fucked up. And, like, who knows, like, the crazy part, like, the control and, like, the shit she's had to have gone through for 13 years, probably her whole life, really, but, like, amplified over the last 13 years, is, like, can you imagine your dad, okay? Like, first of all, that's crazy. This is the person who's, like, put on this earth, you know, to, like, make you, protect you, like, whatever. You're supposed to feel the safest with your goddamn parent.
Money does something.
I'm telling you. But I bet for the last 13, he was, like, look, if you just, like, work and show them that you're sane, like, blah blah blah, like, this will all be over. And he just been dangling that carrot in front of her for the last 13 years, and finally she doesn't snap.
Do you follow her on Insta?
Yeah.
So, you know, people are always in the comments being like, conspiracy theorists, like, oh
yeah,
see the shadow, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But watching some of Britney's stuff, she does look, and don't get me wrong, like, I love me some Britney, okay? I'm a Britney bitch, okay?
Right.
but I also kind of was, like, late in the Britney game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But looking at her social media, something feels off about her.
100%.
And I don't know if it's because her social media is controlled, or if it's because she is just, maybe she's, like, a little weird now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, listen, you put somebody, anybody, in, like, some kind of solitary confinement, and you take away that control, like, you're gonna lose a few of your marbles.
What do you think about her boyfriend? Did you see that fucking Paris Hilton got married?
Yeah, twice. Like, well, not twice, but, like, she's doing it, like, all this celebration, that celebration. That's so weird, because I never really liked her. Like, I never really like was a huge fan. I
didn't care about her either way.
Yeah, but I feel like I like her more as, like, the years have gone on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like
growing up, I was a huge Paris Hilton fan. Like, I was
Did you watch Simple Life?
I didn't. But I definitely, like, wanted to dress like her. Like,
right, on, like, the juicy.
But I saw her wedding, and first of all, cute. She was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But her reception was, like, a carnival, like a
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bar and I talked about hosting, like, a wedding cella for our reception.
Mm-hmm. A wedding cella. Reception.
So I was a like,
festival, if you will.
I was like, we got the same idea, but now I don't want to do it. People are gonna be like,
no, I'm like, you're like, I got text messages between me and Bar discussing this way
before. Definitely considered that
way, like, before.
Paris Hilton, because she looked gorgeous, and I didn't even know I don't follow her on anything, so I didn't even know she was in a relationship or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah, sorry, back to Britney.
I don't know. Oh, I think I was saying, so, like, we had talked about this when we did the episode with your sister, because we were all, like, your sister's super, like, conspiracy theory out, like me. So it was really nice. But yeah, we were talking about her boyfriend and, like,
Britney's boyfriend.
Yes. So, like, how, like, it, now in a per- no. No, Britney's boyfriend. So me, my sister, and your sister were like, okay, like, let's think about this. Like, what are the odds that he has genuine intentions? Like, probably pretty low, you know? I feel like that happens with anybody that has money in the spotlight. Like, I feel like you have to be extra, extra, extra careful. Obviously, you would know about that more than I would. But I feel like if you were single and in the dating life, you would be more on defense and, like, worried about people's, motives more than, like, a regular person in the real world, which you still have to worry about in the real regular world. So it's just amplified, you know what I mean? So I don't know. He's super good looking. Like, he's, like, a model-y type. Yeah. So it's, like, in a perfect world, I feel like with the shit you've been through over the last 13 years, it would be super fairy tale like for her to just like ride off in the sunset with her boyfriend and they are able to have a baby like they've been wanting to and whatever, we'll get married, whatever, whatever. But I'm like, that's probably not like reality. So I'm trying, I don't know how it's going to unfold, but.
Here's my question. So let me ask this for clarification before I move on to my next point. However, I'm going to ask them together. Number one, for her to be in a conservatorship, does that mean that she controls, what does she control? What is not in her control? And the second part of that question is, do we think the boyfriend has been waiting around for this to roll out so that when she does have control, he can manipulate that control? Or
yeah, so that's kind of, well, let me answer your first question. Not much. She doesn't control much. They wouldn't, like, she had to, like, she couldn't have a baby. They weren't, like, literally, you can't have a baby. Like, we, so, like, has no control over, like, her body. She has to go to these doctor's appointments. Like, not much. I'm certain that, like, if she saw anybody or, like, hung out with friends or, like, it was all, you know, monitored or controlled in some way.
That's what I'm saying. How is his boyfriend?
She's not even able to, like, go buy a car. She's not able to go on vacation. Like, nothing. So, I feel, and he came well after the conservatorship. So that's like a red flag in my opinion, right? Because if they were together before and then she went a little cuckoo and he's like, I've been sticking it out for 13 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's maybe something to be like applauded, but he came during. So I do feel like that there's, and I think your sister said this too, that like, there's a good chance that he's going to come in kind of like very knight in shining armor. Like, they've been doing this to you. And now like, I can help you, you know what I mean? And kind of be more in charge of her money. And you know what, like, maybe that's not a horrible thing because frankly, she's been out of the game for 13 years and she was like, probably does need somebody to help her take care and get shit back on track. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like her boyfriend and probably like big financial advisors, they're all going to come out of the woodworks. Like, let me help you, you know?
Yeah.
And hope that she just gets like the most genuine thing.
And just spend so much time during this like conservatorship situation,
right? So that's what we were saying is like, if the dad or whoever, you know, allowed him to be around like that, I'm sure that there was a reason for that, that they wouldn't allow somebody that was really trying to help her just be around all the time.
Someone who's really in her ear, like,
right,
this is what's going on,
mm-hmm.
This is what I see, this is what's wrong. And so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's probably not good.
I feel like, is he like us, laying down with her saying, this is fucked up? I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I feel like no, very likely no, because I think a lot of, like, she had said, like, they recorded her and, like, her in her room. So I'm like, where were they even allowed to have that conversation? So I feel like he maybe couldn't have even been, even if he wanted to.
Because it was all so monitored.
Yeah. And that's what makes me think, like, a normal dude who like really just wants to be with some girl, whatever, whatever, probably isn't going to go for the girl in a conservatorship that has no control over her life, right? Unless he's going to benefit from that in some way, you know? I don't know. I kind of feel bad though, because imagine she probably has some kind of like, you know, mental things going on, whether prior and stuff, right, that she accrued during.
Yeah. I mean, she got famous as such. I feel like most people, if you notice, who get famous at such a young age, they all have some type of trauma,
yeah, right,
associated with their career.
Yeah, I was actually watching like I don't know, I think it was Macaulay Culkin. So obviously he was extremely famous, like from freaking Home Alone, like little, like he was 5 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, was famous for a long time. And it's like, it's weird to me in a sense that like, okay, I can't send my 5-year-old right now, Aria, I'm going to send her to go work in the fields and work and work and make money. I can't do that. That's illegal. But they can work for 24 hours on a set straight, and you can run this little 5-year-old, and the parents are going to make that money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that seems like, that in itself is like a form of control, because if you're 5 years old and I tell Aria, you're going to the field, you're going to go pick whatever, whatever, you know what I mean? She's going to be like, okay. What is she going to do? She has no control over her life.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like that in itself causes an issue as far as like, I think what happens, it's like when the kid So if I was super, my parents were super strict. As soon as I'm able to do what I'm going to do, I'm going crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, oh, I'm going, I'm partying.
A lot of these kid stars. And I think that that's like, not that Holly would be like a Miley Cyrus or, you know, I mean,
right.
My daughter could be whatever she wants, but I'm saying,
yeah,
she's not in that predicament, but I don't think I would want her to be. And I feel like Holly does get a lot of like, you know, sponsorship, you know, deals and
like, wait,
whatnot, but I really don't like for her to do them, because even though we do Teen Mom, I just feel like that was my choice.
Right, not hers.
Choice, and I want her to still, I don't want her to feel like that, like she's been working and forced all her life.
Right.
To do something that she didn't sign up for.
Right.
He was too young to sign up, so you know his parents signed him up for that.
Absolutely.
And I'm not faulting the parents, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, they threw him in a talent agency, he got called, this is whatever the case.
Yeah.
He really had exactly no control over it.
Exactly.
I'm sure it was just like when I forced, like, tell Aria, hey, we're going to dance class today. Like, yeah, she kind of picked to do it. But if she says, hey, we're not going, I'm be like, yes, you are, because we paid. So you're going.
Exactly. Yeah. they don't have the control. You know what
right.
I mean? Hold on. I got bacon in the oven.
What? Listen. I'm tired of you and your damn food breaks and... What are you making for dinner?
Hold on. I haven't eaten all fucking day.
Oh, because you've been getting your hair done.
Have you ever...
Did you put blonde in it?
I did.
It looks super cute. I thought I was making sure I wasn't seeing things.
Have you ever gotten your hair like this?
No. Wouldn't I get in trouble?
Okay, so let's address this. For people who don't know... I am black. Jessica is Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of a cultural difference here.
Right.
I just got my hair braided today, and I have been getting my hair braided since 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. So she asked me if I've got, hold on.
And I didn't jump on to podcast until 3:45. So
like 4 hours
for a long time getting my hair done.
I have got my hair braided like I don't know what the difference is. Just like straight back during cornrows? Like cornrows, I guess. During basketball in high school. So one of the girls on our team who was black, I knew how to braid, obviously. She's like, who wants their hair braided? Like, that'd be dope if a bunch of us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So that was the only time. And honestly, I don't even know. Cause I remember, obviously I'm 31 now, and that was quite some years back, but I remember it hurting. Like almost like I had a headache. Like, you know what I mean? Like it did not budge, but I was like, even during the game, I'm like, hey, my head hurts.
It's tight.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Tight. And I feel like, honestly, I've had the same type of like thing with when I was in the Navy, and I'd have to put my hair back like slicked back and gelled down like in a bun like all day long, and it was like I still get like migraines, but different headaches. I used to get headaches from it, and I'm like, I think it's just like from being, I'm sure you get used to it. Like, I did get used to it eventually, even in the Navy, like, you know, they eventually went away. But
yeah, I have been getting my hair braided for so long.
How long have you had that same girl?
About 3 years. I like to stick with the same people, especially when you are like black, or you know, you got that kinky curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go to somebody that you know can do it, you like stuff.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, with anybody who needs like, where you're like, okay, mine's not like everybody's, it's a little bit different. Like, I think you were talking, weren't we talking about that when we were saying like makeup artists? You're like, well, some people on different skin colors, different skin tones, different, like, they're going to do it differently. And I want it done like I want to do the best thing for like my skin and how it's going to flatter me. Cause that's why I'm getting my makeup done.
I mean, even though I do feel like as an artist, you should be able to do white or black.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you can consider yourself a good makeup artist, hairstylist until you can do both race. I mean, both, you know.
That's true, but that also probably, I mean, I don't know, because I'm not a fucking makeup artist, but I feel like that takes like that takes like time, right? Like, where you like make sure that you get a bunch of diverse like clients to make sure that you are able to do that. But I feel like that's like part of, yeah, part of your
portfolio
or profession. Yeah. Like for you to say, hey, I could do it all. Like, I feel like it's the same thing with like tattoo artists or like anything, you know, it's like, hey, I want my client, for a client to come and I know exactly how to like do what they are asking me to do no matter what.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's about diversity. Even mm-hmm. though I feel like society has become so touchy.
Right. With
cultural appropriation and mm-hmm. cancel culture. Don't get me wrong. As a Black woman, I definitely feel like it's good to be able to call attention to some things that maybe aren't
culturally
appropriate or, you know, certain things that need it. But I don't feel like everything needs it, you know?
Yeah.
I go on TikTok and anytime there's a white girl or a Mexican girl with braids, people are in the comments like, cultural appropriation. And it's like, not really.
You're like, she looks cute.
She looks cute. Now, it's one thing to say that, well, that style's not for your type of hair and it might pull your hair out and whatever mm-hmm. else. But I don't think that everything is cultural appropriation.
Yeah. I think some things need the attention.
Admiring a culture and taking things that yeah. you like from a culture and saying, hey, I'm a white girl and these braids are not from my culture, but I love them and I know what
they're beautiful from. And yeah.
And at what point does it shit? Because, like, we can't always be at that. I mean, I feel like that just doesn't leave space for people to learn.
Right. I feel like, I think what happened maybe is, like, we meant it in a good way as far as calling things to, like, attention and giving things attention that haven't got it in the past. And then it kind of just like snowballed and we're like, hold on, like maybe not everything needs a reaction, not even just racially, but like with anything these days, because just the cancel culture in general and things that happen that have nothing to do with race, but where it's just like, hey, like now I can't even say how I feel. I can't even be me without being concerned about how somebody's going to take something.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as it regards to like changing language that you've been accustomed to using.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I say nigga all the time, but now there's this culture where it's like, well, not even Black people can say nigga. I'm Black, I'm gonna say nigga. Now if you want to tell a white person they can't say nigga, okay, that's appropriate. But I don't feel like everything is culturally disrespectful. I don't feel like, for instance, you're my friend, you are not Black, but we talked about you using weave glue for your lashes.
Right.
That would be culturally appropriate. I don't see anything wrong with that. And I'm glad that you don't want to offend, but I don't feel like that's something that should be.
Like, I shouldn't have to hide the fact that I'm using weave glue on my, for lashes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, it's, we got to find like a healthy balance of like, because I do like, maybe some people like, that's a, for me, like I used it. You were like, hey, wait, like, don't use that lash glue. Try this. Right. And you put it on and I was just like, my mind's blown. This shit is amazing. So it's like, I'm complimenting like that, you know, I'm like, that's hella cool. This is the best little hack ever. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like if I mean absolutely like no disrespect from that, then it shouldn't be like, I shouldn't have to be scared that it's going to be taken as such. You know what I mean? Because right. Let's divert that attention to the people who do mean stuff disrespectfully. Because I feel like
a mocking.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
like sometimes if your attention is such in so many directions where you're worried about me doing that, you might miss the person who's like really needs to be put on, up on the spot, you know?
Or like, you know, I'll take it a step further and I'll say, you're around me. What if like, you know, you want to get your hair braided because you like the way my hair looks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that culturally disrespectful to me? I don't feel like it is.
Right.
I don't feel like it is. Now, if you put your hair in braids, change the way you speak to some right. stereotypical type of tone.
Right.
And, you know, start doing other things like that. I mean, like, okay, like, bitch, we friends, but bitch, you, so you need to calm it down.
You can have you can have the weave glue and the braids, and that's it.
Okay. Exactly. There's just certain yeah. shit. Like, for instance, for me, I am super fascinated with Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about their traditions in terms of like Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
Like the painted skulls.
Right, right, right.
I wanted to put some in my house, and I wanted to do like, I remember in school we used to get the sugar skulls.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But then I really thought, like, you know, if I post that,
yeah,
are people going to be like,
yeah.
Now, I've never claimed to be Mexican. I'm not Mexican. I'm very fully aware of that. However, I love their culture, and I
right.
appreciate so many things about their food, their dance. Mm-hmm. Their
You're life. Like, dude, Ashley will eat birria tacos. At any
I
point,
eat tacos every fucking day, and
yeah,
I'm
like
Mexican. And that doesn't make me Mexican, but all I'm saying is, I have never said anything, you know, racist towards a
right.
Hispanic person. I think they're some of the most hardworking people. I ain't gonna go there, but you know what
yeah.
I'm saying. I would not disrespect them and their culture, yeah. but then again, I have to think about. I want to take part in a holiday that they celebrate. Now, is that culturally appropriate considering I'm black?
Yeah, I know. It's it's something. It's weird because it's like let me say this too, because we're friends. We are from California. We're from a melting pot area. We are from
it's harder when you're from fuck nowhere. We're
right, and it does make a difference because you grow up a certain way. I went to a high school that was extremely diverse. There was white, there was black, there was Asian, and there was Hispanic, like a lot. Like I played sports my whole life and I had black girls on my team. I had Mexican girls on my team and I had white girls on my team. And it's so normal to me. Like I said, like I grew up with the girl who said, hey, let me braid your hair. So I, in my head, I'm like, how could it be inappropriate when she asked me, you know what I mean? So to me, it's like, I wouldn't even put that stuff together, but then I look and I see stuff, you know, on the internet. And again, like people were raised differently in different places and, you know, they weren't exposed to that type of thing. But I'm just like, sometimes I'm like flabbergasted. I'm like, well, what? Like I didn't, you know, because we just weren't exposed to it. Like you grew up in a place where there's all colors.
Right.
So
if I had grown up in a place where there was all black people and I never seen a white person, I might feel
different. Right.
But
so
coming from such a melting pot, I just don't see everything in the climate. I mean, in one way, I thank Trump, and in one way, I hate some of the shit he does.
Right.
Because I feel like without Trump coming out and being who he was, we would never be in a climate where people would call out disrespectful things. But like you said, I do feel like it's being taken too far.
Yeah.
I guess so. If I see you with braids, am I supposed to tell you to take them out?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like this world is so crazy and there's so many bad people and bad things going on that really, really do like affect people every day, like in a lot of different ways, and that do deserve the attention. And sometimes we get so caught up in some little things that we miss the big things.
Yeah.
And sometimes
the goal really here is for everyone to understand and appreciate everyone else's culture.
Right.
So if people can't experience that and show respect for that, I don't know how that's going to ever happen.
Like move forward.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like we want to move forward and be like, yeah, like in a perfect world, it would be everybody living together, being understanding and respectful of everybody's being different. And that would be what makes us strong, you know, because I know that over here, you know, you're like somebody can make the birria tacos and somebody could braid the hair and somebody, you know what I mean? Like everybody has a place and they can do things and we can all learn and do that in a respectful way. But obviously there's some people that can't do that, and those people like should be called out, but
right. But then what, like the main point is we have to get to an extent to a point to where we say, okay, everything is not disrespectful or appropriating some things. God damn it. Sometimes I hate having a phone because of it. Some things are just people trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like it's a weird time that we live in.
We're kind of
coming out of COVID, and I have a debacle that I want to place on the table since we're here. So basically, most clinicals are requiring a vaccination for nursing school.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Most clinicals are requiring a vaccination, not schools, but clinicals.
Which is like, you need it.
Yeah, if you know anything about nursing school, you have to do your clinicals in order to graduate.
Right.
It's part of the program. It's part of the whole idea.
Right.
So I'm in a predicament to where, no, I don't want to get vaccinated. And I honestly don't care what people feel about that. It's my choice. It's my body. And that's what the fuck I've chosen to do. Not saying that I'm going to get sick and be irresponsible, because I feel like even if you're just sick, regular sick, you shouldn't
You should probably not go around people.
Yeah, you should probably do some type of quarantine until you got back
for sure.
But I don't plan to get vaccinated. And now I'm in a situation to where it's like, I did all these prerequisites to be able to go to nursing school. And
right
now, essentially, I can't. Not because I don't want to, but because I've made a choice about my body.
Right. Yeah, that's hard, because I feel like a lot of people are dealing with that right now. My sister included. So my sister's a nurse. And she, for obviously the last whenever the vaccines came out, her job has been very like, hey, when you know, they never said like you have to or you will be fired, but like everything, you know, they've thrown bonuses, they've thrown like done everything they could to get people vaccinated. And there are a handful at her job. She doesn't work in a hospital, let me say that, because otherwise she would have probably already been, but she's like a paperwork nurse. So but still, of course, they're like a medical company, so of course they want everybody to be vaccinated. And she's like, I mean that shit is weighing heavy. Like, either one of these days they're gonna tell me I have to or I can't work here anymore, and that means that comes with a consequence of, hey, I have a mortgage, I have kids, and I have to make that choice. I am forced to do something with my body that I do not feel comfortable with just to put food on the table. And that's like really, that's a scary reality of a lot of people.
It is. I have a friend who was working at Kaiser, and her contract is not renewed because she chose not to get vaccinated. And right. It's sad. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, you don't care about other people, just get vaccinated. Listen, when I had COVID, I quarantined for 14 days. I do care about other people. Otherwise, I would have
been at Target.
At Target, Starbucks, all the places I wanted to go, I would have been. So don't tell me I don't care about other people. But on the same hand, it's like, it's basically forced. And it's forced in so many ways, because in some counties, you can't even go to a restaurant, a movie theater. So it's like, get vaccinated or you literally cannot be a part of society.
Right. And to me, well, first of all, that just like, when you say it just like that, it sounds horrible and wrong. But where it's like, it's to me no different than like if somebody, let's say a sex offender or something like that, we said, hey, you're not allowed in this restaurant, which to me sounds more reasonable.
Right. Way more.
But we can't do that. That's their right. Like, their right is to be able to go move in public without being, first of all, out even put any of that information out there. Right. They don't have to carry a card to say, hey, I'm a danger to your children, I've been caught in doing such things. Okay.
And present to that every door. They
right. Right. And then the company should be able to be like, no,
we don't want you here.
No, try next door. Which again, to me, that sounds more reasonable, and that's not a thing. And I'm not like, you know, picketing outside, like with a problem with it, but you can't like say that would be against a violation of somebody's rights and then tell somebody that, hey, you can't make money if you don't put something foreign into your body.
it's a violation of somebody's rights to tell them that they have the right to choose, and then to basically exile
take it away
society for making yeah. that choice.
Right.
Because you're not saying, I mean, listen, we're talking about nurses who worked through this fucking pandemic
with no vaccine that put their lives on the line.
And listen, we're not going to discuss whether it's right or wrong to get a vaccine, because that is everyone's fucking, I'm sick. I'm happy I have a podcast so I can talk about it. I am motherfucking sick to the bone, to the core, to the COVID core of people trying to guilt people or praise people for getting this fucking vaccination.
Right. It's
everybody's own fucking choice.
Right.
Simple. You don't want the shit, you stay the fuck home. Because guess what? Before there was COVID, there was the flu. There was all this other shit. And mm-hmm. your ass was willy-nilly getting shots poured in yep. your mouth at the grocery store, doing yep. every fucking thing. And you didn't have a fucking thought about the fact that there are actual viruses that exist besides 19.
Right.
That are present every day in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely used as like some kind of like, hey, look at me, I care about people. I got mine. How about you? You don't give a shit. It's like that's not like, first of all, you don't know somebody's health. So let's say I have maybe some things going on. Let's say I have high blood pressure. I got this, that, diabetes, whatever the case. And maybe the risk to me is much higher than it is to a completely healthy person. So who the hell are you to say that I don't care about people because I don't want to risk my life and having adverse reactions?
Exactly. To get the vaccine. And then right. people who say, oh, well, you got them when you were a kid. And the key word to that is, bitch, I was a kid.
I didn't have a choice.
They give you your first shot when you pop out the cooch or the belly. Right. It's no decision. And most of the time, the parents don't even know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
They hell yeah.
That baby, that head be shot, boom, right when that baby comes out. Yep. So at the end of the day, we can't really say, oh, you got vaccinations when you were as a kid, to an adult now who is choosing not to participate. I haven't got any vaccinations
right.
since I was required to in school.
For school, yeah, same.
Any.
No, I'm lying.
Flu shot.
I was forced in the Navy. Yes, absolutely. I had to get shots. I had to get the flu shot every year. But since I got out of the military, since my body was mine, because basically when you're in the military, your body is not, and you sign that saying so. But ever since then, I have not had a flu shot. I haven't had nothing, not a bit of nothing. And frankly, it's like I still feel like I haven't got the flu shot. Now, if I get the flu, I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to be.
But is that my choice? It's my choice. Yeah. I mean, whose choice is it? Now, if you're in the military or something, you that paperwork is.
Well, I signed it. That's my choice to sign it.
But a citizen who is not in that predicament,
right?
Listen, it's not the fact that I don't want to get the vaccination. It's the fact that I don't want to get it right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to be told I have to.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't feel like we've seen enough of what it's doing.
Right. Well, actually, we've seen a lot.
I have nurse friends on one hand who are in the hospitals and saying, look, people are coming back fucked up. And then I have the news on one hand who was saying, get the shot.
It's so safe.
It's for Thanksgiving.
Girl, we can't have no turkey until we have the shot. Yeah. And that's the other part is like a lot of people are not, you know, whatever they put on the media is all you're going to get unless you do know nurses or people who do know about those adverse reactions.
But I'm not going to assume that these people who I know are lying. They're coming to me just venting what benefit do all these people I know have?
And those people even have the vaccine. So they really don't have a benefit to lie about it. They gain nothing from it. And who cares? Like, we're not here to say what's right, what's wrong. The real fact of the matter is we don't know. And that because of the reason of not knowing, I don't want to get it yet.
And that should be sufficient.
That should be enough. That should
be sufficient. At the end of the day, I feel like just like anything else, if they came out with the new drug right now that said it was going to do something, you know what I'm saying? And we didn't really know much about the virus or what caused, you know, all these other factors that come into play when you're creating a vaccine. I don't feel like we've had enough time to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we've had enough time to see how this is really, really, really going to trickle down.
Right.
And
it's almost like,
that's okay.
I feel like they're pushing it so much so that most people are vaccinated by the time all that stuff comes out. And then it will be like, well, you know, because if they weren't forcing people and weren't doing the things that they were doing, probably less people would have it. And then eventually over the years, we would find out what it does. And that might, like, depending on what happens, that might deter more people from getting in. That's probably what, you know, unfortunately, a lot of it does have to do with money. And that's.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it all boils down to money. I mean, the funding that's being handed
went into this
for people to get vaccinated and the insane incentives. I mean, you've never seen a commercial like, get the flu shot and we'll do this.
Yeah, I see like a little sign at Walgreens every year and that's it.
Yeah.
If you want to get your flu shot, get it.
Exactly.
You and know, I don't.
the news might say, hey, it's flu season. You know what I'm saying? You don't fucking hear about it again. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to understand
why it's being pushed so hard.
It is pushed so hard. Compared to the statistics, flu kills just, yeah. I mean, I think yeah. more people.
Right. So I just feel like we should be how we were saying with everything, like as far as cancel culture, whether it has to do with racism or it has to do with COVID or it has to do with whatever, you just need to learn to like be respectful. And if at the root of it, like you are, you know, being respectful, you shouldn't have to worry that you are forced to do something that you don't want to do. Because I do think that, I don't know the percentage, but maybe it's like 60% of people are vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I could pretty much tell you that probably at least half of those only did it because they're like, well, I don't want them people to think that I don't care. And that right there is like, it's unfair. It's unfair that that's being pushed on someone.
Yeah.
And that's the part where it gets a little fuzzy. And that's kind of how, like, just how you were saying, you said, have you ever got your hair braided? And I was like, instantly kind of like, uh-oh, I don't want anybody to think anything. When it's like, I know that I just feel like with today, it's hard to have to like, you're immediately thinking, what are people going to say? Instead of like, just what's on your heart or whatever. I was like, oh, I did forget that I had got my hair braided, whatever, in like 10th grade. But, you know, it's just like, because everybody is so like nervous or like scared to say the wrong thing or to not be vaccinated and somebody say that you're a terrible person and you're like, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a terrible person. That's not why, but you're, you know, it's so heavily pushed that.
I mean, I think like you said earlier, like there are people who don't want to learn, don't want to be respectful and just mm-hmm. go for those people. But I do want to encourage people, you know, if you have friends of other cultures and backgrounds and you've deemed them to be good people and not someone who's going to mock your culture or make fun of you, mm-hmm. then let them in and tell them about your culture. Have them taste your food. Have them try your language. I mean, that's the only way that people are going to stop being scared of people who don't look like them.
Right.
Because that's what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
And I think that being open and maybe our generation, even though like we have a little bit of an age difference, our generation is going to be the generation to kind of like push that
forward. Make those changes, yeah.
Because I think in the past, it just wasn't the time. Mm-hmm. But I think now the only way we're going to kind of like get some solidarity is by, yeah, having those conversations with friends. And I know it can be uncomfortable, even with just you and me, but it's like, I deem you to be a good person. I think you deem me to be a good person. Otherwise, right. We wouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
And to know you, I have to understand your culture, where you're from, why you're like this. Why the fuck do I sit for 6 hours and get my hair braided? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you have to be able to ask those questions. Cause
yeah.
Otherwise, how are we going to deepen our friendship? We can't always just talk about Love After Lockup, which is what I'm watching.
I know, I'm behind. Yeah, I do think it's good because we had absolutely no plans of talking about any of this, but I think it's an extremely important conversation to have. And I think the fact that you were even able to ask me about braids and for me to be able to be like, well, is that okay? Like, how do you, because you know,
yeah.
So I'm not just assuming, I'm saying, hey, you know what? Like, am I like, can I like, you know what I mean? Like, can we have
it's okay to ask?
Ask. Yeah. And it's cool if you do have friends of different cultures. Maybe there's some like something we that isn't as common. You know, let's say I have a friend who's Indian and I ask something about something that they're wearing or cooking or anything, and to just be able to feel comfortable to say, hey, like, how would you do that? Or like, would it be, you know what I mean? Like, I think that is really going to be the key to us like moving forward. And you are right that it's going to be on us and what we teach our children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I genuinely feel like it's a good conversation to have. And I feel like people should be having it. It's there's no more you against me. Now it's like, do you want to learn? If not, bitch, bye.
Yeah. If not you, but yeah, whoever wants to do this, let's do it together.
People who do want to learn, learn. Cultures have good foods, good traditions, good clothes.
Right.
There's so much to learn. And I just feel like you don't need to read a book. You can talk to a person and hear a person's story. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you just have to like copy or like,
no,
you know what I mean? But it's like, you can learn and you can take things and make your own, like, and to be able to have those conversations of like, what's appropriate from actually the person who understands it the most is probably like the most important. And I do think that maybe because of the cancel culture that some people feel nervous to even have that conversation. And that's why we're not learning as quickly and moving forward. And I think little things like this are really what's going to like make a big difference.
Yeah. Heavy topic for today, but some
food, but important.
Yeah, important. And I think that everyone should be having this on their mind and, you know, have a friend's night and just kind of, you know, vibe out with other cultures and see what you learn. You never know. Also, shout out to Brittany for being free, and shout out to Paris for being a missus. And we will see you next week.
Bye.